I get home and go about the usual routine of getting rid of the office stench lingering on my clothes. I kick off my shoes. I spray a lavender sage scent into the air. I wiggle deliciously. Now it's time to deal with the new element. I pick the glossy black carton up off my counter, unseal the complicated little flaps that keep the lid closed, then deposit it onto my coffee table. I stare at it. It does not stare back. "So far, so good," I say to the room. The box doesn't seem to be judging me. I talk to myself out loud a lot. It's one of the major privileges of living alone, and it's absolutely essential to my sanity. I spend all day listening to and generating business speak. If I didn't hear a nice human voice once in a while, I'd go bonkers. I have a lovely, resonant speaking voice, so I have the great privilege of voicing my own thoughts aloud and hearing my own wisdom. Liking myself takes effort, and I'm going to start hating the sound of my own voice if I only use it to talk about work. That's the downside of living alone. If you don't talk to yourself about your day, no one else is going to ask you. Okay, curiosity might kill this cat. But cats have 9 lives, right? I lean forward and scoop the box's contents into my lap. I snuggle deeper into my plush cream sofa, tucking one leg beneath me. I inspect my purchase. There's a large fancy phone in a matte black case, and in a matching hue is a thingummy. It's not shaped like anything else I've ever seen. It's got some fragile-looking bits, and some squishier ones. Maybe the phone app will explain what's going on with this device. I plug the black phone into my charging cable, power it up, and stare resolutely at the pale gray plane-shaped logo that's featured on the phone's only icon. I double-tap the icon. "Solo flight commence," is a reassuring English woman's voice from the phone. The app's sleek interface welcomes me with warm colors and elegant typography. Nothing that would make me blush if someone glanced over my shoulder. There's a mandatory welcome screen. "Today we'll work together to identify your intimacy preferences profile. Shall we begin?" I take a deep breath before tapping the green "Yes, I'm ready" button. I'm not. I'm obviously not, because I'm about to talk to a robot about my cuddling preferences. The irony is not lost on me. Fortunately, the robot feels no such embarrassment. The first question appears. "When you imagine pleasure, do you prefer to plan every detail or let sensations guide you spontaneously?" "Lork," I announce to the empty room. "I kinda hate the word pleasure. It's honestly worse than the word moist for me. I also hate the words erotic, adult, sensual, and gender. There's a theme here, you might notice. I won't be an asshole. I'll play the game. That's how progress is made. I pick a direction, any direction, and I just keep spiraling forward in that direction until I realize I need to adjust. Then I start the process exactly over again. It's how I got here in life.
And here is honestly a pretty good place to be.
I'm hopefully about to make it even a little better. It's worth a try anyway. What could go wrong? Okay. Pleasure, like fun date pleasure, or, sexy body pleasure, because I'm far better educated about one of those than the other." I hesitate, my finger hovering over the screen. I hate that I'm struggling this hard with question one. The old shame of oddness starts to crawl with familiar footsteps towards me. In my culture, these conversations simply don't happen. It would frankly be terribly strange to ask. Fine, I'll just let my Virgo freak flag fly. It's as good a decision-making rubric as any. I select, "I prefer to plan." At the very least, I prefer knowing what the hell is going to happen next, and it's important to model the behavior I'd like others to use for me. Whew. One down. Next. Each question is squeakier to me than the last. "Do you find yourself more aroused by emotional connection or physical touch? When fantasizing, do you create detailed scenarios or focus on specific sensations? Does anticipation enhance your pleasure more than immediate gratification? Why is there no I don't know button? Who designed this?" I pull out my brand new paper journal and write my first line in it. "Questions about user experience design on Radiant Solo Flats questionnaire. More options preferred from this end user, please." Okay. No more procrastinating. Fate heart never won fair maiden. Or, cuddle buddy, I guess. I can't believe it's come to this. But I'm not above stupid touch starvation, so I've got to get my act together like the rest of the emotional poor people. This is what it means to be an adult. I take care of my needs, I start at the bottom of the Maslow pyramid, and I work my way up. I can't just be scared of the incels of the world. I need to know there's a way forward for them. I need to acknowledge my fear that if I'm not careful, I'll become one of them. I'm also sick of the impact they've had on my life. I'm tired of not knowing how to improve my experience of being on the internet, or even walking down the street without anxiety. This is why I'm sure that what I'm doing is worth a try, despite the cultural taboos I have to overcome. I'll get the dopamine of trying out a new hobby, and maybe gain a personal testimony of a device that could help others too. I'll know things aren't hopeless for single people. This is all very logical. It's why I'll keep going. 20 minutes later, I answer the final question. I did it. I'm so noble. I'm so responsible. I still can't help but feel embarrassed that my heart beats a little faster as the app processes my responses. A moment later, my results appear on screen. Your sensuality profile. Ritual anticipator with narrative builder tendencies. I stare. So I'm a storytelling Virgo, I say aloud. Tell me something I don't know, app. The phone, taking my words at face value, has the sultry English woman describe that ritual anticipators find deep pleasure in the buildup and preparation for intimate moments. Intimate. You thrive on anticipation, finding joy in creating specific conditions for pleasure. I do? I say. The app is right. Stupid bubble bath obsession. The voice is secure in its rightness, I guess, because it continues smoothly. Your secondary narrative builder traits mean you often create rich mental scenarios that enhance physical sensations. That's called kinesthetic empathy, I say. I wait for the app to applaud my vocabulary, but it ignores me. Instead, the sultry voice gets personal. Try creating a personal ritual before self-exploration. Perhaps lighting a candle, playing specific music, or wearing something that makes you feel beautiful. Allow yourself to savor the anticipation. Savor. A new word to hate. But as I set my phone down, I have to admit to feeling strangely seen. How else would I have gained the language to express these ideas myself? For the first time, I start to feel like buying this device isn't the grossest idea I've ever indulged. The app and device together are apparently a little psychic because a notification appears on the phone. Based on your profile, we've customized your solo flights program. Would you like to view your personalized first exercise? My finger hovers over the screen. This is the moment of truth. Am I ready to move beyond theory into practice?